This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, Father. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is preparing us to hear your word. Father, we ask that your word will not return void, that our hearts will be prepared to hear, Lord God, and be changed by your word. Father, I really pray for an anointing just to speak through your word, not through me, but scripture. And Lord, let scripture, let your word change us this morning, Father. And let, if there are people here this morning that don't know Christ or are at a dry and a difficult place in their lives, Lord, let them know and walk out of here that they've met with Christ, that God has spoken to them, Father. We thank you that you are a God that knows through what we are going, but you also know where you want to take us. And I pray that you'll reveal both to us this morning, that you care, you know where we are, but you've got a plan for us, where you want to take us. And that's to come up higher. It's to come closer to God, always to come closer to you, Father. And we're never sufficient, but we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that grace that is on our lives because of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad. Yes, we are preaching. For those of you who might have missed it, we had a nice baptism between the two services. That is always good and anointed. So if you want to get baptized, speak to somebody that looks like they know what's going on here, and we can sort you out with that. You know, it might be difficult in Swakopmund to understand, but seasons change. No? You know that? Yeah, in Swakop it changes in a day, but it's supposed to change four times a year, not four times a day. But so we are on this, or Yaku started this series preaching about seasons. And so I don't know if you get winter or summer next week, but you're going to get one of them. And I'm talking about just that the season of change or change in one's life. So that could be now autumn or spring, where we are now, kind of, I think. But we drove to Windhoek a month and a half ago. For those of you who hear this story in Afrikaans, sorry, you're going to hear it again in the Afrikaans service. But so my wife, like, you see, Swakopmunders need to use our imagination when it comes to spring and autumn and that stuff, because we've got palm trees and that's it. But in other countries, and maybe in Windhoek also, in Namibia, you see when the seasons change, you can see it in nature. You can see the blossoms in spring, and in autumn, the leaves change color. And so, but use your imagination. I'm helping you there to use it. But anyway, we were driving the other day. My wife loves blossoms. She grew up in Omaruru, so there's enough water and trees, unlike here. You probably sense my frustration here with with the climate, and I'm not trying to hide it. Anyway, so we were driving, and on our way there, it was just here in September, she saw the blossoms looking like those, and she loves it. And so we go to Windhoek, and then, but like men, you know, when I drive, I just want to, it's not a journey. Like, for me, it's something that needs to get done, and I want to drive and get to the other side. So, I think most men are like that. So we're driving back, and I want to get home. That's all I want to do. And she sees the blossoms. But now these blossoms were only in about 50 kilometers there from Okahanya somewhere. And I realized, but I was a bit, I guess, demakar, confused. But I realized too late that she wanted me to stop and cut some of these blossoms. But now I'm too far, and I don't see these trees anymore. And I'm getting worried because, you know, the vibe changes in the car. Nobody says anything. Nobody said nothing, but the vibe changed. And I know it changed. It's tangible. You know, they sit at the back here. So I feel there's something going on here. And I'm looking for these trees because I realized too late. And I don't know if I prayed. Maybe I prayed. I think I prayed all the time. And driving. And it's Wilhelm's tell. I don't see these trees anymore. And I realized, listen, these trees need to come now because We're going into the desert. There's nothing. So it's this one specific tree. You know, I don't see. So just before Karib, I see a tree. Yeah. So we stop and we cut the tree down almost. But my wife was very happy because she got her blossoms. Okay. So we're talking about change in our lives. How to deal with change. And if I can add on to that little story is, I am a person that, I don't know if it's a male thing or an Afrikaner thing, or an Afrikaner combined with a male thing. I don't know. I have it bad from both sides. But it is, you don't like to be wrong, you know. You don't like, so when you're a bachelor, it's fine. I mean, nobody knows about your mistakes and you deal with it or you don't. But then you get married, then it's like Quentin always says, your mistakes, they surface. It's like, where did this come from? And then you get kids and it's like chaos. Because you realize all your shortcomings. And you don't like it when other people see your shortcomings. Because you try and be sorted out. So maybe it's a male and an Afrikaner combined thing. I don't know what it is. But what? And then we get the same in church. You come to church and you hear the word of God. And you are now a Christian for 20 years or whatever. And I go through this sometimes where I say, God, it's not talking to me, it's other people. I've sorted this issue out. But then if they talk longer and there's an anointing like Michael Howard that preached here or the Houston lady last week, then you realize after a while, no, he's talking to you. Ne? And then you realize that, I don't like this. I thought I was okay. And the fact that what I want to tell you is that serving God, and we're going to look at scriptures like that, you must make peace with that. That is the type of conviction moments that God will put you through in your life, walking with Him, following Him on a continual basis. So change is permanent when you're a Christian. Are you with me? Now, that doesn't mean you must struggle with one thing in your life forever and the change happens forever. No, but God will reveal Himself to us. And I don't know if we're saying that song now, but okay, let me go to the first scripture because that says it quite nice. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, in Afrikaans, it says it actually used the word mirror. I don't know. Some of you understand Afrikaans. I'll read it. "En terwyl ons almal met onbedekte gesig soos in 'n spieël die heerlikheid van die Here aanskou." So as we in a mirror behold the glory of God. So what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes God wants to almost use the mirror and turn it on you and say, "Look at you. I've washed this mirror now. When you look at the mirror, there's some smudge and dirt on it. You don't see the whole picture, but let me clean this and turn it around and show you. Can you see what's going on there?" And He turns the mirror on you. And He says, "Look at you." And then you see stuff that you don't like. But we have an opportunity there to react in one or two ways. And I'll get to that later. But this scripture says, so that what is this supposed to do when God reveals Himself to us like this? When we see, it's supposed to change us from one degree of glory to another. From glory to glory and strength to strength. God does not do that so that we must feel bad about ourselves. It's automatic that we feel, shortcoming. But what He wants to do is say, "Look there. I want you to be, made in my image. I want you to be transformed. And I want you to be transformed from glory to glory and strength to strength." It's not to reveal your shortcomings and then to leave you in misery. It is to reveal it to you, and then you say, and you grab hold of God, and you say, "God, please change me from glory to glory." Because God wants His glory to shine, not on this church, you know. Well, where is the glory of God nowadays? Where is it? The glory of God is supposed to shine through you, through me. People must, when they come into contact with me, with you, experience a degree of God's glory. And you know what? That's only going to happen if we say, like that scripture says, "God, change us from glory to glory and strength to strength. Are you with me? It's a process, so change is permanent. And it depends on the state of our heart to embrace that change or not. Yes, but we can get stagnated. We can stagnate as Christians. Sometimes we can stagnate in our lives, and we get to a place of pride, I want to say. And we'll get to that later. But where we say, no, God has dealt with me. God has done everything. No, God, you know, there's another scripture that says, when Jesus comes back, we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So it says, and throughout scripture, it talks about us being constantly changed, being sanctified. But it says still, when Jesus comes back, you'll still be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So this process of us being transformed into the image of Christ, it just does not stop. And we must make peace with it rather than to fight it. Amen. Are you with me? Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed, I want to say, by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There's three things in this scripture that I want to bring out or emphasize. First, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So this process of change that I'm talking about today is just a place, yes, it's the same as taking up your cross and following God, dying to ourselves constantly. Now, dying is not nice, but it's because of in our lives when the flesh, when the me gets too much, the dying of me becomes an issue because there's too much of me. Are you with me? But when the Spirit, and when I reveal myself, and when, like this scripture says, I present myself a living sacrifice, God, use me, change me, then the natural man becomes less. Then the dying becomes easier, the dying of the flesh. And like when Michael Howard was here, I've heard a lot of people, I've heard a lot of men of God speak. People, what was it, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, it felt like somebody is spiritually smacking the nonsense out of me for 3 days. And at first it's like, oh no, and later on I was enjoying the smacking. No, but it's because my spirit, you see the glory of God, it's like, oh yeah, I'm so glad I'm dying to myself. So where are you? Because If you're natural, and listen, don't try and just change yourself in the natural. If your natural man is too much in your life, rather pray that God reduces this one so that this one can be raised up, because that's when you're going to start changing, and that's when you're going to want to change and take on the image of Christ. Does all of that make sense? So present yourself a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean we're like, God, we're useless. You cannot use this. No, it is an honest place where we say, God, these, where we see, like in the mirror, everything that is wrong with us at that stage, but it doesn't stop us. It actually gives us momentum. So living, presenting yourself a living sacrifice. I remember on a mission team long ago, these people were sitting, and they were sitting in the street. You know, in the Bible, it says, in sackcloth and ashes. They put on sackcloth and ash on their heads. It's a lot of, I don't want to say nonsense, but it is nonsense. God says when you fast, nobody should see it. You fast by yourself. Or try and let nobody see it. But it's not something that you must, on the street corners, wear in sackcloth and ashes. It's nonsense. It's a place, and you can be in sackcloth and ashes in your clothes right now. It's an inner thing that you're saying, Jesus, I'm a living sacrifice. Cleanse me. Make me holy. It's not about throwing ash on your head. So I wasn't brave enough at that stage. I should have told those people. a few other things. I'll stop there. I won't tell you what I should have told them. Okay, but it says, do not be conformed to this world, the second thing, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Again, changing, changing, be transformed, not out of this world. You know, I am tempted nowadays to say, I want to take all my stuff and drive to the farm and stay there. But then it is so dry there that after 2 days I come back anyways. It's quite harsh on the farm. But my point is here is that God says you are in this world, but you must not be the same as this world. You must be transformed in it. And the last part here, which I think is very important, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God for your life. And I know it's fine. It starts like that. It was like that with me. But there's something that I see in church nowadays, and I must say I hate it. And that is where people want to run from one prophet and one word, and I want this word from this person so that my life can get sorted out. What in the world works like that? Nothing works like that. Nothing works like that. We are sometimes such superficial, weird Christians that we think God's plan in our lives is going to be revealed like that. This scripture says how it's revealed. It says you become a living sacrifice. You give your life over to God. You surrender. You be transformed. And then the last part, it says, then by the testing you may discern what is the will of God. It is a process. It's a process of us committing unto Jesus Christ. And then as we walk with Him, He shows us His way. He shows us the right way. Not this where I want to go to church and get a prophecy, but then the rest of the stuff in my life that needs attention, I neglect. And people must prophesy into my life every Sunday and put me on track. It's not going to work like that. I can just tell you, nothing in life works like that. But it can be, is that okay? Was that not too hard for you? But it's okay. I am a loving, kind of loving. There's nothing wrong with prophesying into somebody's life and getting that thing started. But there is a process that takes work. And yes, I'll get to that later. Now I'm starting to enjoy the sermon. But there is a process of us. And unless we get disciplined, Jacques said it on the elders, on a leaders meeting the other day, and love it. He said, we have to keep spiritual things spiritual and natural things natural. Let me give you an example. If somebody struggles with negative thoughts or their image in Christ, that's a spiritual thing. I'm trying to get good examples, you know. You pray for that person. You say, let's pray for you. Let's anoint you. Let's get that thing sorted out in your life. That's a spiritual battle going on there. Let's pray it right. Spiritual. But then, if you're a small group leader, and no, now I need to think of a good example. And you say, I struggle to get up in the mornings and read the Bible and pray. That's not spiritual. You're lazy. You're lazy. Get up. It's natural. Are you with me? We make such natural things so spiritual. And somebody must just help you and say, wake up. You know, get up and read your Bible. If you can't get up in the mornings, then it's fine. Sleep late, but then pray later in the day. I'm not going to pray for you to start praying. I'm not going to pray for you to start reading your Bible. Even if you don't like it, get up and pray and read the Bible. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things we spiritualize, and we don't help anybody like that. If you look at your kids, man, they are never, it's the same with them. You have to show them, tell them, pick up those clothes, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. But if you pick it up for them, they're never going to learn. Stop picking up their clothes and tell them every time to pick it up. And after the fifth time, they still don't give him a hiding, please. And this is now live on the, I don't know if it's live. But this is the stuff we need to hear. We spiritualize natural things and naturalize spiritual things. Anyway, my point is, people, God wants to change us. And what I'm trying to say here is, there's a lot of our character which is not spiritual things, God wants to change. And you know, when I was a bachelor, I could get away with this nonsense, some of the nonsense in my life. But then you marry, then your wife is exposed to all your weaknesses, and your children even more. And so some of the stuff I now realize in life is, Theo, your character needs work. Amen. Was that meant for you or for me? But I take it, I take it. Amen. And some of this stuff is just purely natural. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7. Therefore, since we have these great and wonderful promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, completing holiness, living a consecrated life, a life set apart for God's purpose in the fear of God. In our Bible school, we have a module that called salvation. What does it mean to become a Christian? Now, becoming a Christian is an event. Once you can give your life to God there, and you become a child of God there. But thereafter starts a process of sanctification, or like this scripture says, completing your holiness, living a consecrated life, a life set apart for God's purpose in the fear of God. Then it starts. Then that process starts. And my question to all of us is, how is your process of sanctification? We're talking about change here. Is God still constantly changing you? I mean, are you allowing Him to change you? Are you putting yourself in positions, in places every now and then where somebody can speak into your life, or you're just in the presence of God? But do you get yourself into positions, places where either the Word of God or the anointing or somebody else just shows you some shortcomings? Because if you don't do that, your sanctification stops. And it cannot stop. It can stop. It's going to be a miserable Christian life you're going to have. That's all I can guarantee you. But if you allow it to continue, it's going to be this living, amazing relationship with God. And we'll get to about. But our problem is sometimes we don't like to respond positively to being shown our shortcomings. But my point here is that you are, how is your holiness? A lot of this stuff happens behind, you know. Yeah, okay, I'm going to get to that later. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, and I know you don't have to tell me that Theo, there's some shortcomings in your life. Theo knows about them, but I'm challenged by it. You know, what do people see when I walk out of this? I am challenged because I know I make mistakes. Also, like, what do they see? Do they see a smiley? A happy Theo, or is it like a Norse knorr at some stages? And I'm telling you, sometimes they see a guy with a bad attitude. That's what they see. And Jesus says, no, Theo, must stop. What scripture did I read now? Okay, 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 to 21. How is your process of holiness? I want you to think about that. Your process of sanctification, of God cleansing you, God just shaping your character. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some honorable for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. I want to use that example again. I remember it long ago, you know, the picture of the temple in the Old Testament. There was the outer court and the inner court. And then as you went into the temple, I think the first, there was the table of showbread and the golden lampstand. Seven lamps. It was one golden lampstand with seven heads, what do you call it? for seven candles. And that was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And do you know how that golden lampstand was made? It was a pile of gold, And it had to be hammered. Hammered is the wrong word. What do you call these people that? Molded. That golden lampstand, that picture of the Holy Spirit, the seven candles, Holy Spirit's presence in our life, that golden lampstand was shaped from one piece of gold, hammered into shape until it was perfect. That is a picture of what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you and me. When Jesus formed you, there's all this potential in you, but it needs some hammering. Hammering is the wrong word. Help me again with the right word. Molded. Yeah, that sounds nicer. Theo, use that word. But some people might have to be hammered. But God wants to mold you. It's a picture of what God wants to do with us. He wants to mold us into that perfect shape, what He has predestined you to be. But we are piles of gold which needs work. And like this scripture says, it needs, are you an honorable vessel or not? Some are dishonorable and some are not. But what kind of vessels are we for God? Are we vessels that have been shaped by the Holy Spirit so that we can actually carry some of the glory of God? If we walk into the office with our bad attitude, guess what? The glory of God cannot be there. And we think like, oh, the people must get saved. They cannot get saved. Because your attitude must change, Theo, so that the glory can hang around you and then they can get saved. Are you with me? So, what kind of vessels are we? What kind of vessels are we? And you know what? I'm not trying to make, because if I condemn you this morning with what I say, then I fail horribly. Because out of the natural, if you want to change yourself, nothing is going to happen. But we have to trust God to come to a place where He can speak to us and just show us who we are. And we're actually so excited because then the Holy Spirit can take over and change us. I use it always as an example. My brother, I didn't preach to him. He's 8 years younger than me. But when I got saved at Varsity, afterwards, a few years or whatever, he told me that he said he went to my church. Or I don't know what, he was also such an amazing teenager. Not all the issues I had. But he said he went to that church and he realized he needs to follow God, something along those lines, because he could see the change in me. I didn't preach at him. He saw Theo before and Theo after. And I'm sometimes ashamed to see the Theo after nowadays, because there's some old Theos back, old Theo issues back. But that's okay. Let's get to the place where we can humble ourselves before God and say, God, please change us again. Because this process of changing is not stopping. It's a process we can embrace or we can resist. Romans 6, verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. That's that word, sanctification. Present your members, present yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to this process of changing and becoming more like Christ. We need a lot of that in the church nowadays. You know, something else that Michael Howard also said, and it's scriptural. Jesus says He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And the church nowadays, we as Christians are resisting going through some makeovers, you know, some facelifts. God wants to give us a facelift from the Holy Spirit. Hopefully He'll do something in the natural also. Huh? Like you're a bit taller and the wrinkles are gone. That could also happen, I hope so. No, but God wants to change us. And you know what? I don't think, and that's more or less what I gathered from what He said, is, but Jesus is not going to come back for a church full of spots or wrinkles. So the fact is, Jesus is going to hammer you until you change. You can make it a pleasant experience because it's what it's supposed to be or not. Are you with me? Amen. God loves you too much to leave you like you are. All right. Because He wants His glory to shine through you, His people, not His pastors or His prophets. You and me. the normal people that just walk from day to day. He wants us to be honorable vessels so that we carry the anointing and the glory of God. He wants us to grow in that. And yeah, I'll get to it. I'm almost finished. And when I say it, I really mean it. Galatians 5:22. Yes, I'll use this again. You know, we're a charismatic church. Sometimes we can be more charismatic, and we should be more charismatic. But the Bible speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, prophesying, getting words of wisdom and knowledge. But a gift is something you get. Né? That's why it's called a gift. A fruit is something you cultivate, you look after. It's like me at my house. We don't only have a dog, we now got two ducks also. Yeah, in Swako. You know, those ducks don't live by themselves, né? I have to give them food. And when the niceness of the ducks disappear for the children forget to give food, so the dad needs to give the food. My point is, fruits are like, it's a very weird example I'm using. But it is something you have to work at constantly. If you don't give that duck food every morning, or the animals, or you don't water your orchard, what is it? Fruit. Bungert. Then it's going to die. So, and I think now in these times at least, God is really challenging the church and the people in the church to not neglect the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But those are things He gives to us. We have them. But it's to cultivate the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we can, I said it again in the first service, and you hear about it, this actually. Thank God I didn't go through that. But you hear of people that had a pastor or whatever as a father, but the children want to run away from church. And in many times, it's because the man was horrible at home. He had absolutely no fruit of the Holy Spirit at home. Nobody liked to be around him. I'm using examples now. And all these fruits that I'll read was just devoid in his life. So the children don't look at the gifts. My dad can pray in tongues as much as he wants to. If he's horrible and selfish at home, I want to get away from him. Okay? And that's a challenge for us as Christians. As parents, as whatever we are, is that stop being so spiritual about some stuff. Work at your character. Get some Holy Spirit fruits in our lives so that people, when they meet with us, they see these are godly people. We don't want to hear you prophesy. Just smile. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And every time I hear this, I'm like, ah, because I can see my own shortcomings. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Our lives, God wants us to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit does not get given to you. It is something that God puts His finger on your life, and as you spend time in His presence, you get changed. It's not something that you can get overnight. I mean, I don't want to say that God can change people and then the next day they have joy, etc. But it is something that we have to manage, and we have to change in some areas. Are you with me? So that the glory of God can shine through us. I'm almost done now. I'll skip Romans 8:29. James 4:6. Mark, we can. It says, in the beginning, I think I said, we've got a choice on how to react when God speaks to us like this. And I used my example also, and I'll use it again. Is, how do we respond when God shows us our shortcomings? Are we people full of pride? And I know I come from a kind of a background like that where you try and do everything right. So when you when you do get things wrong, it's actually quite difficult to acknowledge. But working with God, I can just guarantee you that's going to happen to you all the time. He's going to expose shortcomings, mistakes in your life, not to suppress you, but to actually help you get free. And I think we basically respond, now it can be different, but basically respond in one of two ways, and it's summarized in this scripture, James 4, verse 6. But it gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We can respond with pride and say, no, that's not me. Or we can respond with humility and say, God, that is me. And God actually says how he treats those two types of people. God says, I resist pride. Sometimes we actually experience in our lives some sort of a resistance. And it's not because God wants to resist or wants you to have a tough time in life, but he cannot work with pride. He says, I resist it. So when you come into my presence, and I just want to help you get a recipe for your life, is that when you come into the presence of God, just say, even if you don't have the humility, just say, God, please make me humble enough so that I can see it. And when I see my shortcomings, when I see what I'm not and what I should be, help me to respond in humility. And you know what? Then you're going to start looking forward to moments like that with God. Then it's not moments that you wish don't happen. Then you're like in the presence of God, not even in church, but at home. You worship God and you're exposed to your shortcomings. But then the Bible says he gives you grace. That's when God's grace operates, is when we see how we fall short of the glory of God and we acknowledge it. And then God says, that's okay. Now my grace comes. But the moment we want to let some of ourselves enter that equation a little bit, God resists. But when we say, Father, sorry, we are your vessels, we want to be your vessels, then his grace comes. Then his grace comes. That's when his grace comes. Jesus, I'm reading the book of John. Jesus was a scary man sometimes. When he dealt with pride, everybody knew about it. He would chuck the chairs at the table and say, what are you doing here? When he spoke with Pharisees that were self-righteous, full of pride, he didn't mix his words with those. But then he can speak to a prostitute. Her whole life is full of sin, full of it. And he gives her grace. Yes, God wants to give us grace. Let's stand. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace. Father, when we see you, when we expose ourselves to you, as Isaiah 64 says, it says that all our righteous works are like filthy rags in your presence. And Father, we are exposed this morning again. We're exposed. But Father, somehow our spirit enjoys what's happening here. Our flesh doesn't. But our spirit enjoys being humble in your presence, being exposed in your presence, because there's something happening in us. There's a work of the Holy Spirit that happens, and we know that our spirits enjoy it, but our flesh does not enjoy it. Father, we pray that you will kill our flesh in Jesus' name, Father. Father, help us to cultivate the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Father, so that we can carry the glory of God. And Father, we know that you're not going to leave us until you do that. So we might as well just surrender a bit earlier than having to go through a life full of strife and struggle, not wanting to submit unto your plans. We want to surrender. We want to submit, Father. We say, change. Make us new. Make us more like Jesus. Thank you for all the change you've already done. But we see more change to be done. And we're open for that process. We thank you, Father. It's liberating. Let your spirit take over and change us, Father. I just want to ask, if you're here this morning while our heads are bowed and eyes closed, if you want us as a Christian to pray for you, I don't know, maybe some pride in your life, maybe something that you want to surrender here this morning that you know is withholding that just flow of grace in your life. If you are like that this morning as a Christian, just raise up your hand and say, please, I want some prayer. Is there anybody like that? Christians that say, I want prayer for that. Amen. Is there anybody else? Amen. Okay. Can I ask us, I'll close in prayer, but now I would like those people to come forward. Now, not only me, other people are going to pray for you, but we're going to trust God just for that rivers of living water will gush through you. Because, and that would mean just that less of me and more of God. So, I'm going to close off in prayer now, but then I want those people to please come forward and let's pray for you. Just in a relaxed setting, ask God to change your heart. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we pray that our church will be one of accountability. In other words, one that's open to change. And we will acknowledge that we need change constantly. Father, we thank you for no condemnation, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There's conviction. And we're open for that conviction, Father. We want that conviction. And then we look forward to it. Because when we look at ourselves and the stuff that we hold on to life and that we gather, it's just so dirty in any case. Everything that we gather and try just got faults. But when Jesus does the work, it's pure and it's perfect. And we want to be pure vessels. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.